This is Reset. I'm Jen White. Just as the COVID-19 pandemic has crushed Chicago mass transit giants like Metra and CTA, the virus has hit the world's airline industry just as hard. TSA recently reported a 95% drop in air travel. One of the many struggling airlines, Chicago-based United, is taking heat for attempts at some controversial cost-cutting moves. With us to discuss that fallout and what United's situation indicates about the global air industry is Robert Mark. He's a commercial pilot, aviation writer, and publisher of the industry blog, JetWine.com. Robert, welcome to Reset.
Hey, thanks for inviting me, Jen.
So before we get into the specifics of what United Airlines tried to do, lay out for us the situation faced by the global airline industry right now.
The global airline industry has been hit pretty hard. And although, of course, we could say everybody has, but again, probably 100,000 people at least have lost their job in the airline industry. Pilots, flight attendants, ground workers, you name it. And then, of course, there are all the suppliers to the airline industry that have been affected.
And as we said, there's been a severe drop in the number of people traveling, but have airlines found that they have some added expenses during COVID-19?
Oh, absolutely, because it's the airline industry is a terribly capital-intensive industry. So just because there's no revenue coming in doesn't mean the airlines don't still need to make payments on their airplanes and cover their employee salaries and health care benefits and all the other things. Now, and of course, there's the facilities, too, like the terminals they have at hubs like O'Hare.
How well prepared was the airline industry for a pandemic of this type?
I would tell you that I don't think any industry was well prepared for the kind of pandemic that we've seen. I mean, we saw what happened to the airlines after 9/11, and we thought at the time that was pretty bad, but it pales in comparison to, I think people have worn out the use of the word unprecedented when talking about this COVID-19 thing, but it grew way out of proportion to what we expected, and we don't know where it's going to end.
We got news that Warren Buffett sold all of his airline stock, even at a loss. What kind of ripple effect do you think that had across the industry?
Oh, I don't think it helped the airline industry. I mean, United Airlines here in Chicago tried to float a bond issue last week for, I think, $2.25 billion. They were offering some premium rates up in the 11% area for those junk bonds, but they didn't get enough takers, and they finally withdrew. So I think the word is out that maybe the airlines aren't the best place to put your money, if anybody has any money.
Well, let's turn to United Airlines. They received money from the CARES Act to help weather the COVID-19 storm. How much money did they receive?
They got $5 billion through the CARES Act. $3.5 billion were direct grants and another $1.5 billion, I believe, in low-interest loans. And that money was essentially given to them to make sure they covered the cost of employee salaries to keep people on the payroll at least through the end of September.
There are some major restrictions on airlines that accept the cash. Talk about some of the strings that are attached beyond having the money go towards payroll.
Well, the strings were pretty easy. The airlines could not give any of their management people raises or bonuses or anything like that. But they also had to make certain that they promised that they would not lay off anybody before the end of September. And, of course, what really made people crazy last week was that United seemed to have found a loophole in that CARES Act legislation that said, well, it doesn't say we can't reduce their hours. We'll keep them on the payroll, but we're just going to take full-time people and make them part-time people and make the part-time people even more part-time. That didn't go over so well.
How did the rest of the industry respond to that move?
Well, the industry, I believe it was American, took some pot shots at United, saying, oh, look at how disingenuous the folks at United are being for trying to figure out a way around this. But, also there was some legislation up on the Hill last week in the House that said, thou shalt not reduce the hours of employees. And that only came after the Machinists Union threatened to sue United over their idea of cutting hours.
What's your sense of how United employees and employees across the industry are feeling right now?
Well, they feel like anybody would feel if someone told you that you might lose your job in the next few months and be out on the street, but we won't know for certain for a few more months, and we'll stay in touch. I mean, I think the folks at United may have thought they were doing everybody a favor by, preparing them or helping them prepare. But that kind of strategy has a deep emotional effect on people. The uncertainty is just it's not good for people's mental health. And as one of the United employees told last weekend, they are essentially preparing for the worst and hoping for the best.
We're talking to Robert Mark, a commercial pilot, aviation writer, and publisher of the industry blog JetWine.com. He joins us to discuss the current woes of Chicago-based giant United Airlines and the global airline industry. Robert, this isn't just about the number of people who are, taking flights. There's also this issue of how United can update their aging fleet. How are they managing that right now? What does the path ahead look like?
Well, United plans to get rid of some of its older airplanes, except for one particular model of the 767. They're going to ground the 757s. And it really, right now, it is just a plan because the whole fleet renewal program that United was involved in, as all the airlines were involved in, has kind of just gone to the four winds because you can't replace a fleet of airplanes when you don't have anybody to fly on them. It just doesn't work. And right now they're not certain when their demand is going to come back. And of course the other issue for the pilots is that United offered what's called a displacement bid, which basically told United has 14,000 pilots, that said anyone may be displaced, which means that if you're a 757 pilot in Los Angeles, you might be moved to 37 in New York or at Newark or San Francisco or whatever. So the whole place is just kind of going up for grabs, and essentially they won't know until the end of this month how that's all going to shake out. But in addition to that, prepare for the worst and hope for the best doesn't do a great deal for employee morale. And of course, let's face it, United didn't exactly have a terrific customer service history anyway.
What kind of a shift would that mean for pilots if they're switched from one plane to another? How big of a disruption is that for them?
Oh, it's huge. It is absolutely huge because the way aviation works is that if a pilot is rated, say, as a captain on the 767, and they're being displaced to another base and possibly another airplane, they've got to go through a complete retraining to certify them on that airplane. And if you displace thousands and thousands of pilots, that means thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of retraining at United's training center in Denver, and they can only handle so many at one time. And so how that's all going to work, they haven't even figured out yet.
Beyond pilots, there are other people who staff airplanes, that staff the flights, people who have to do the fueling and loading of luggage, people who are the flight attendants. When you may only have one or two people on a flight, does that at all reduce the number of staff who are working to get that flight in the air and safely to its destination?
Well, there may be some places on the ground that you could reduce staff, except, of course, the CARES Act money means they can't reduce staff. But no, and in terms of the pilots, you've got to have the same number of pilots. You've got to have the same number of flight attendants. It's essentially one flight attendant for every 50 people. I'm sorry, for every 50 seats on the airplane. And that doesn't go away. But, of course, you know, just the other day, United had made some publicity that wasn't really comfortable when they had a jam-packed airplane taking off out of Newark. And people weren't happy about the fact that United had promised to leave the middle seat open, and they didn't.
I want you to zoom out for us a little bit beyond the airlines themselves. TSA, every little restaurant you see in an airport, the lounges that people, you know, wait in when they're waiting to take their flight. How are those ancillary people and jobs being affected by COVID-19?
Well, the premier clubs at the airports have not been functioning, to my knowledge. Because again, they have the same problem everybody else has about, you know, getting people too close together. But again, I think the most important thing to keep in mind is that every job in the airline industry itself or that supports the airline industry is hurting right now. There have been no exceptions from, you know, the top people at the airlines down to the person pushing brooms, let's say, at cleaning an airplane or anything like that. They're all worried about when their last day of work is going to be and what's going to happen next.
What do you think the airline industry is going to look like on the other side of this?
Ooh, there's a crystal ball I wish I had. I could be very wealthy probably with that. I think it's going to be tough. I think we're going to see some consolidations. We've already seen outside the U.S., Avianca down in Colombia filed for bankruptcy. Virgin Australia filed for bankruptcy. There are some carriers here in North America that are on the edge. And so I think any airline that doesn't have a really solid bank account to draw on in the next few months, with the passenger numbers down, is going to be seriously concerned about whether they'll survive the way that they are. And I think we're going to see a few of the airlines go away, even though we thought there couldn't possibly be any more mergers.
And what do you think the outlook is for United?
Oh, well, it depends on which side of the fence you're on. People will tell you that United is too big to fail. And then they will tell you, too, that no company is too big to fail. And I think it's really going to be a result of how well United manages its cash. I think the fact that they, you know, released those plans last week about what may happen with people after September 30th deadline tells you that we're going to see a much smaller airline when United emerges from this. For how long, though, we just simply don't know.
So talk about how airlines can plan and make rational decisions right now when there's so much uncertainty about the economy, when we might see a vaccine for COVID-19. How can they possibly make long-term plans?
That's a good question. And I think that's something that everybody that's realistic in the airline industry is asking about any airline right now. You know, we think that in some places they have a handle on the virus, and then there are other people that say, I don't care, I'm not getting back on an airplane until there's a vaccine, which could be a long time. And let's face it, too, even if the airlines are operating more flights, people don't have as many destinations to go to as they did. I mean, Disney World is closed. That's where everybody heads in the summer, if they can. And other kinds of park destinations, even heading to the national parks. I mean, none of the usual summer kinds of fun is probably going to be an option for people. So, again, they probably won't even use the airlines anymore for some time. And, you know, the business people certainly will if they can. But companies are worried, too, about letting their employees fly on an airplane because they don't want them to get sick.
Really quickly, how dramatically do you think this will change the way we travel by air, if we travel at all?
I guess I have to be an optimist and say I know it's going to come back, probably because I want it to. But I think just as we saw security measures change after 9/11, I think we're going to probably see some sort of health testing or something, those kinds of restrictions appear as the industry starts to recover. We just don't know whether it's going to be something like taking somebody's temperature. Will they need a doctor's permit that says that for certain they're not COVID-19 positive or who knows what? But I think we're in for quite a ride.
That's Robert Mark. He's a commercial pilot, aviation writer, and publisher of the industry blog, jetwine.com. Robert, thanks for speaking with us.
Thanks for inviting me, Jen.
This is Reset. I'm Jen White.